For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, welcome to another Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast on the Believe Network here with Jacob. Taylor is in the room somewhere doing other things. I'm sure he'll chime in. Week 12, almost over. Monday night game still to come. We're recording Monday morning Pacific time. And week 12 almost in the books, headed to week 13. And you know, two-thirds of the way over, basically, the NFL season.
I can't do the math anymore. They keep adding too many games.
I can't get my head around 17. The math on 17 is too hard. The math on 16 was easy.
It's easy and burned in your brain from years of 16, so yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess technically we're past the two-thirds mark, right? I mean, 12 would be three-quarter mark for 16.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's interesting. I'm still not used to it all, like – the poor Chargers are 4-7 and people are writing them off. I don't know. 10-7 gets you in with three wild cards, isn't it?
Keeps a lot of teams in play. As
10-7. Yeah. I think 9-8 can get you in, but 10-7 is not, there's no guarantees in life. I remember one year, you know, back in the day when you had to walk 5 miles to and from school uphill both ways in the snow, right? Yeah. The whole Tom Brady. Back in my day, the coaching was better and we could do, you know, whatever. Actually, on the side tangent, do you see what Alex Smith said?
Oh, that the AFC East wasn't good back in the Rex Ryan.
You're talking
days.
About all the quality right in front stuff. Of Rex Ryan. Yeah. Well, he made fun of other Patriots that were, you know, Randy Moss, Teddy Bruschi, and Rex Ryan that were sitting there next to him, and said the AFC East was trash. That's why, you know, I don't know what Tom Brady's talking about. Good on Alex Smith, San Diego boy. I thought that was interesting. I'm sure he's going to get some blowback because who are you? This is the GOAT. Yeah, but there is a little bit of back in my day, but players are bigger, faster, stronger, and the whole deal. But bottom line is, back in my day, since we did that involving the Patriots, I believe, and Taylor is going to have to check on this, I believe the Patriots, the year Tom Brady was injured, ACL, I believe they had a great record. I think they were 11-5 and did not make the playoffs. I believe that is the year that we, the San Diego Chargers, were 8-8 and made the playoffs and hosted a game, kind of like the NFC South is right now, 5-6 Atlanta ahead. We were 4-8 at the time. I might have mentioned this before. We were 4-8 at the time where we had to win out, but the Broncos were 8-4. We were 4-8. But we played Denver at home the final game. And we knew if we could get it to 7-8 and 8-7, we would control our own destiny and win. And we beat Tampa. It was a strange year. I remember this on the sidelines. It was a year that we couldn't convert a 3rd-and-2, but 3rd-and-8 or 10
yeah.
was easy.
Sometimes you need more space.
You know, Rivers and company. I remember one time it was like 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3 or something. We got a false start, and I said, good. It was just more room. I think it was in that game to convert.
This is all checking out so far. You guys were 8-8. Patriots were 11-5. Didn't make the playoffs.
And that
you
was
guys did.
And that was the
Tampa and Broncos down the stretch.
Yeah, and it was the year Brady tore his ACL.
Correct.
And I'm back on his name. Buddy, Matt Cassel.
Maxell, yes.
Matt Cassel.
Yeah.
That's part of Brady's lore, besides winning now in Tampa, is that Matt Cassel, they couldn't win with Matt Cassel.
Yeah.
They were 11-5 with Matt Cassel, and by all accounts should have made
right
the playoffs. I mean, 11-5 doesn't make the playoffs. That doesn't happen very often. But our 8-8 team did. And I do remember that. And no, it's just interesting.
Do you remember what the wild card round was?
What the round was?
What you guys did in the wild card round after making the playoffs?
I don't think we cared because we were all about let me tell you, and tickets to that game were never more popular that final game. I think we won because we got on a run, right?
Beat the Colts in OT and then lost the Steelers next game. So
yeah,
got a little run, beat the Broncos with the home field advantage. So,
well, historically, I hate to say this. I love Peyton. Oh, by the way, I guess I should have talked more about Matt Castle. He's been a friend. We got to get Matt Castle on the show. He's always been a good guy and a friend of the pod and whatever.
He's probably an encyclopedia of Patriots knowledge.
I saw him at the Super Bowl this year, and it was actually at a Barstool event. He was there, Boston guys.
Whatever. Yeah.
Anyways, Barstool has a Barstool bar in Phoenix somewhere. I don't know. Whatever. There was some event there. Rambling. But we had the Colts number for whatever reason. We really did.
Yeah.
I mean, we really owned the Colts. And this is why that Patriots loss that we had on the pick and fumble back Marlon McCree was so painful.
Right.
Because that was the Patriots then went on. They beat us and we were huge favorites that year, 14-2 at home.
Right.
Home games throughout, we would have hosted Indy next. And instead, the Marlon McCree was intercepted Tom Brady. All he had to do was go down, fumbled it back. So a new set of downs, and we ended up losing. A lot of things went wrong.
Yeah.
And that game for us, it wasn't just Marlon McCree, but we were by far and away the better team. That year, I can tell you, we could win a 35-point shootout. And we could win a 14-13 game defensively. Like and it's that middling, really bad offensive day, 21 points, really bad defensive day, 24 points that was going to get us. And that's kind of what happened. But we own the Colts. If you look it up, we really own the Colts. We broke the Colts winning streaks. We, you know, my header picture is the last game in the RCA Dome where we beat the Colts.
Walking off
with Philip Rivers. And for whatever reason, we matched up well against the Colts. The next week, the wild card Patriots took the Colts to overtime. And you can check me out of my memory here again. And the Colts then went on to go to the Super Bowl. And it was Peyton Manning's breakthrough Super Bowl, his first Super Bowl win against the Bears. And it was Rex Grossman and the Bears.
Wow.
And if you really get down to it, that year, I believe the Colts were better than the Bears. The Patriots were better than the Bears. The Chargers were better than the Bears. The Ravens were better than the Bears. I don't remember who else for sure, but I mean, that was an AFC year. Whoever was going to go for the AFC was going to win it. No offense to Rex Grossman and the Bears, but the Colts, their easiest playoff game was the Bears that year down in Miami. And that cemented Peyton's legacy as his first. Obviously, he got another with Denver, et cetera. I often wonder way back when if Peyton doesn't – I don't know. It's sort of like what's the legacy there of Manning and what direction it goes. And we should have won that game. But anyways, I digress. Sorry about that.
It's all good.
As an old person sideways rant. Like a Thanksgiving, grandpa telling stories.
Yeah, well, after the Chargers Monday night, it's better to look back than forward. So look way back.
Well, I guess what my point is, 4-7, the Chargers aren't out of it.
Right.
I mean, I get it. They're in a tailspin right now and the whole deal. And I think Corey Linsley's absence makes a bigger deal than people think. But 4-7, if they run the table, 10-7, they're going to get in. 9-8, they're going to need some luck. They got to run the table first, but that's a whole other deal.
Broncos caught fire. So on the topic of Broncos, they beat the Browns yesterday. Myles Garrett is the big question going into week 12, the left shoulder. So just to run through it, he did injure that shoulder in the car crash last year that caused him to miss a game mid-September. Played the rest of the season, played in his usual Myles Garrett self. Wasn't his Myles Garrett self yesterday. Two tackles, had trouble putting his shirt on after the game. We sent you some video docs. Did you see anything concerning in those?
Well, yeah, no, obviously he's injured and, you know, and he's in a sling after the game. That's for precaution. The video, thanks for looking at it. And that's what we do. I think it happened somewhere in the middle of the game. First quarter, he's okay. There's a couple of plays. He clearly wasn't himself. And then I had never noticed, and you all pointed out the tape that he has on his left upper arm.
Yeah, is it like KT tape or is it? It looks like more normal tape, huh?
Yeah, it's some sort of band. Putting together all the pieces from the car accident injury to the video to the KT tape to how he's moving afterwards in the sling. Not expecting season-ending injury. Not expecting a labrum tear where he dislocated his shoulder. Not expecting a rotator cuff tear. He did feel a pop. What's the pop? The most likely pop is the biceps long head. Is it a biceps long head rupture? It's possible. Did it sublux out of the groove? It's possible. But it's Myles Garrett. I see him playing through this. They're staying out in LA this week before they play the Rams. I see Myles Garrett playing through this. Now, he normally plays on the right side. It's still going to be his preferred side with his left shoulder issue pop. But I would have to suspect it's a biceps injury, biceps long head. Rupture wouldn't surprise me. And no, ruptures do not need surgery. It's pain tolerance and play through. Junior Seau had a biceps long head rupture with New England and played through. Even towards rotator cuff and played through.
Wow. It's different than a pec tear. That pec tears you can't wrap up, right? I know there's two different types, the tendon and the muscle tear, but
rotator cuff is hard, but biceps you can play through. Long head biceps, there's two proximal heads, this is why you can play through. And another old man story, maybe you Google it, put it in here. I used to give, you guys know I know Junior is a friend, so I'm not giving him any grief, you know, all love, obviously. Very, very, my son's middle name is Junior for him, not because of it's Davis and David, right? It's Junior because of Seau. I remember giving him so much grief. You know, the Lambo leap was like a big thing back then. And, and maybe Taylor will find it right here and we'll insert it into the pod. But he had a big play or a pick in New England and he jumped up into the stands and he tried to like pull himself up into the stands, but because of his torn right rotator cuff, he couldn't. And it's like, he didn't have hops and, or, you know, you needed to hop and then pull.
Yeah.
He hopped and he pulled and he couldn't. And his legs are dangling there. It's like, dude, what are you doing? You're a little kid. You can't get up there and do that. And that was because of his rotator cuff tear and biceps tear on that side. So the boys gave him some grief about that. Maybe you'll cut this in here.
That's good. We'll have to find that one.
Yeah, you know, whatever that he's only played a couple years in New England, but whatever the celebration in the stands, the Patriot leap, the Lambo leap that he tried to do wasn't so successful. But my point is, Myles Garrett, I think he rolls on and continues to play through. He has a greater chance of playing through this week than DTR,
right?
Homecoming for Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Blood in the mouth is a mandatory head check, that is a rule. Now, does that mean he was hit in the jaw and in the head? I don't know. If you look at video, I'm not sure he was.
That was a big controversy on your Twitter. You said, does this warrant a flag? I mean,
it's a vicious hit.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to outlaw vicious hits, of course, that's a flag. But and that used to be a hit that would be on old school. You got jacked.
Oh, 100%.
And they would show it. But I don't think he actually contacts the head directly. If you want to say he was too close, okay.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot about launching, but
he had five steps to build up momentum. It's like, I don't know how you'd lessen the blow at that point.
I'd look at it this way. First of all, we'd have to get Dean Blandino back on the podcast and ask him the rules of launching. Is it launching if you make contact with a player when your feet are still on the ground? It's a question.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure. If you look, I think he contacts the chest with at least 1 foot on the ground still.
Yeah.
And then he does. It's a heck of a hit. The lesson there is the players in the NFL are bigger, faster, stronger than in college. Come at you a lot faster.
He never had a play like that in college.
But I'll make the early nomination right now for DTR for Beast of the Week for hanging in there and making the throw.
Yeah.
I mean, that took a lot of guts. Okay, it's not like taking the hit and staying in the game. Obviously, he was ruled out for concussion. And he only has, by our numbers, a 22% chance of return,
yep,
which is why Myles Garrett has a higher chance to play in this game than DTR.
So if his one foot was on the ground, that is why they didn't call launching.
The only thing I can see is
they called a penalty.
The only thing I can see is you're launching upward with still one foot on the ground, so it's towards the head and neck area. I guess that's the emphasis, but
yeah, and I guess
he did hit him in the shoulder.
The way that they've been adjudicating it, if it's close, throw the flag is what the referee's been. So, but if you slow it down and you look frame by frame, I don't think it's technically launching if you have to have both feet off the ground to launch. And his head is to the side or out of the way, so he's not using the crown of his helmet, but one heck of a hit.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, we'll see. No two concussions are the same, but Myles Garrett, even with the biceps injury, presumed biceps injury, has a higher chance to play than DTR.
What would the tape be for Myles Garrett? Why has he had that since the car accident?
It takes tension off the long head of the biceps. It helps keep it in the groove. It probably is a little bit biofeedback and or psychological bit at this point too.
Extra stability on the pass rush, whatever. Yeah. No, it's an interesting matchup. Cleveland going against the Rams. Rams were a six-score darling this week, and they took care of business against the Cardinals. So.
Yeah, we loved them this week.
Yeah.
With the delta changes in the offensive and defensive line and defense, it had nothing to do with Kyler Murray. It had to do with the, quote, hidden injuries. That's what we love the best, right? You guys love that a lot at Sick Picks, using the algorithm, the D-tackle out, et cetera, the delta plays, the one-week change in health, and also knowing that Stafford is fine and Cooper Kupp is fine, although he tweaked the other ankle a little bit.
Right. So he finished 3 of 18. Not a fun day for fantasy owners that played him, but he did come back in the game. He had two catches, limited involvement. I mean, game was got out of hand pretty early. So you're not expecting big downgrade for him next week?
No. I mean, it's Cooper Kupp. He rolls through. This is his other left ankle. Mm-hmm. The issue was the right. I think he's going to be fine against the Browns this week.
Another key wide receiver, you mentioned the 22% clear without missing a game for concussion. Chris Olave ruled out with a concussion this last week against the Falcons. They play the Detroit Lions coming off the surprising Thanksgiving loss. So Saints have more problems outside of Olave. Rashid Shaheed was questionable with a thigh, didn't come back in the game. What are Shaheed's chances of playing?
I think Shaheed's chances might be lower than Olave's. Olave's all comers, it's 22%. That's just statistical.
Right.
I mean, we haven't examined Olave, don't know his symptoms and what have you. But a speedster with a thigh, meaning muscle injury, that just doesn't bode well.
Yeah. Michael Thomas already on IR, so that's going to be an interesting offensive game plan for the Saints that didn't do a whole lot against the Falcons either. So maybe it's a Taysom Hill day. Feels like they're going to need anything they want.
I don't know. Yeah. I've got to look at the depth charts and what have you. But I'm sure you guys will look at all of that.
Another key matchup with some big injuries going into it. Eagles survived that overtime game against the Bills back and forth. But they did come out with it. Lane Johnson missed that game. Woke up with some soreness. It's the opposite groin. And you said early on that once you saw him working on the field, it kind of looked like it wasn't, let's fire you up for this game. It's more long-term.
Look, the bottom line is at least as long as Jake Elliott didn't have a groin, they were okay.
Yeah.
That long field goal, right?
Jalen Hurts looks fine off that knee too. It was like
Jalen Hurts looks fine on the knee. We've had confidence in the knee. Fletcher Cox got a groin and Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson, have they indicated left? That was our assumption based on video and how he was working out and favoring it pregame.
They haven't said any confirmation of it, just that he had inflammation on the
last year. During the Super Bowl and stretch run, it was right groin and right core muscle surgery that he had at the end of the season.
That's why he was getting out early and it was the whole talking point of is he jumping too early? Yeah.
Yeah. And he needed to get out there. Now, in some ways, a left groin is harder because you got to push out there.
I sent you this morning. They said it might
pop scar tissue in his groin on Friday. expected any action next week. Yeah, that would fit. Here's the thing. We did say pregame, and thanks to all the beat reporters that had all this pregame video of his warm-up. But to me, that didn't look like a warm-up. That looked like a rehab session. What that told me was the MRI didn't show any tears, which would make sense because how do you tear it from Saturday to Sunday, right? I mean, what are you doing? I mean,
you're full practice all week. He didn't have any issues and then just woke up with soreness. Yeah.
Yeah. And so a scar tissue or something, inflammation, who knows? It can pop up out of nowhere, but there's no acute injury. And essentially that's what the MRI showed. Therefore, they were confident in pushing him through a pretty good workout. And they had a pretty good pregame workout, but that was a rehab workout, not a warm-up to see if you can play workout,
right?
At least in my mind. And, you know, sometimes you can – I mean, Howie Roseman was down there watching him, but, you know, there didn't seem like to be a team doc or a head athletic trainer watching him. And,
right.
And sure, the position coach is out there, but that looked like a rehab workout rather than a pregame test and go workout. And yes, I agree. I think they were resting him for San Francisco. And the only hope that I have, it's happened to me before as a team physician. One time we had a key nose tackle. I won't say his name. He wouldn't care for HIPAA, but literally he came in on Saturday and couldn't walk. And all the coaches and ankle and all the coaches were freaked out. It came up out of nowhere. He was fine all week in practice. And I'm in looking at it and getting an MRI and doing all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't really see anything. And everyone's giving me the side eye. Like, what are you talking about? The guy can't walk. He's as tough as we need him. He's the key in our 3-4. Da, 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 da. And I was just like, look, all I can tell you is what I know. His exam is fine. I'm not saying he's faking it, but sometimes these injuries that come up out of nowhere can disappear as well. And sure enough, he was 100% fine on Sunday. Otherwise, I probably would have been fired. Like, you can't figure this out. I was like, I don't see anything here. And, you know, we gave it some treatment and it turned around pretty quickly and he was fine.
That's interesting because sometimes we're willing you to see something in a video or like doctor's video. He's out of the game. What do you see? You're like, I really don't see a lot. That happened a couple times this week with Etienne.
Etienne, we don't see a lot. Baker Mayfield, we didn't see a lot and came back. And who was the Javon Holland?
Javonte Williams.
Javonte Williams.
Oh, Javon Holland with the yeah.
Javon Holland, you guys showed me video from the Black Friday game. And I will admit I was at a golf tournament, whatever. And I'm like, I don't know. Is it his head? I don't see a lot.
Stinger, you thought, yeah.
His head, stinger. I don't see a lot here. He
stuck his head in the tackle, yep.
And then you guys said, well, they said knee, questionable. I was like, I'm not seeing anything with the knee here. But sometimes what you don't see is good. And after the game, he said he's fine, nothing with the knee kind of thing. So, yeah, we base a lot off of video. And I'm not trying to make it up if I don't see something. Maybe I'm just missing it. Maybe it's a bad angle. Either could be true, or maybe there's nothing, not much there. And that's what we're hopeful for.
Yeah, just wrapped up the Niners. That's going to be an interesting field view to look at. You can head to sick data to get all the reds and greens, see who's in and out, key six score advantages, stuff like that. Niners lost Hufanga last week. And then this week against Seattle, they lost special teamer George Odom, but that's more to the safety depth. So they're two games are already getting thin. They've gone out pretty healthy injury-wise, but interesting one to watch for the Eagles, the effect of the lack of Hufanga and Jalen Hurts running rampant, maybe.
This is going to be a gargantuan matchup. The only mitigating factor I have to say is I don't think Hufanga's been Hufanga this whole season anyways.
Right. I think the Baker cyst kind of went under the radar.
I mean, you still want him in your lineup and you don't want him out with an ACL, but I don't think he was the Hufanga of previous years this season at this rate anyway. So maybe it's less of a loss for the 49ers. Who knows? Obviously it's a loss.
Maybe the pass rush saves them. Who knows?
Well, yeah, I think, let me tell you something. Lane Johnson's going to get tested over there. And I would argue a left groin is worse than the right groin to get out there and kick out there to the outside. So look for him to try and get that wider split and backfield and jump and the whole thing that Lane Johnson's really good at doing.
Got that veteran savvy. That's going to help. He's going to need every inch of that.
You know, what's shocking to me is what the two false starts on Jason Kelce almost cost him. He was just setting up the kicker for more heroics.
Yeah. he had a good kickout block late in the game, so he makes up for it. You know, yeah. You know those veterans, they always make up for it. Hey there, listeners of the Sports Injury Central podcast. Ever felt the wear and tear of intense training? We get it. Recovery is crucial. That's why we're introducing you to Mushroom Life. Unlock the natural power of functional mushrooms with their range of tinctures, soft gels, and more, all designed to support your well-being and elevate your performance. And for those days when you just want to kick back and relax, check out their Euphoric Mushroom Gummies, perfect blend for that post-game relaxation. Very nice of them to send us a sample pack. I can't wait to dig in on my next off day. Now here's a treat for all our loyal listeners. Use the code SIC and snag an incredible 50% off across the board. Dive into the world of mushrooms and elevate your wellness journey. And always remember, shroom responsibly. Head over to Mushroom Life now and discover the magic of mushrooms. Click link in the bio in the show notes, mushroomlife.com. That's mushroom, L-Y-F-E.com. Just want to talk Justin Jefferson. We have the Monday night game up on the website, sixscore.com, if you want to check out the field view. Justin Jefferson, they're talking, I already think he's already been ruled out for Monday night, essentially. It hasn't officially come out, but they're resting him through the bye. We talked last podcast of why that was always the case. I thought it was interesting that he has to go on and defend himself to fantasy football fans that have been counting on him coming back. It's like, my health is way more important than your matchups.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who says that, come on. I mean, here's the thing. But for fantasy football fans, you got to listen to what we're telling you. We told you last week on Monday that Justin Jefferson is not going to play. And it makes sense for them to get him to 100% rather than be limited and try and play through here. And, you know, this is probably a good time to talk about coach speak. And let's talk about coach speak. Look, I'm not saying this just because he's San Diego State and we love Kevin O'Donnell and
Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell. Yes. Thank you. You know, when I ran into him, like, what's so funny is you always remember people as you first meet them. So I kind of remember him as the San Diego State quarterback.
Right.
And he remembers me as the Chargers team position. So he's like, oh, Dr. Chow. I'm like, no, you're the freaking head coach. Right? I mean, it's just different.
A little bit of leapfrog went on there.
Yeah. A little bit.
I was being generous.
A little bit. No, like running into him and he was like stopping. Hey, Dr. Chow. Yeah. I was like, man, geez, you remember me? I mean, that has to do with when you meet people, right?
Yeah.
And anyways, I love Kevin O'Connell. But every coach has coach speak. But sometimes, don't get me wrong here, when we say coach speak, it's interpreting between the lines of what they're saying and what they're not saying. I'm not calling every coach a liar.
Right.
Kevin O'Connell had coach speak, but he basically told you Justin Jefferson is not playing. He said, yes, we want to be careful with him. Yes, we want him at 100%. Yes, da 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 da. He's coming along great. We see how he
looks in practice.
We see how he looks in practice and all this other stuff. But the fact is, there's a bye week and he was LP. He basically told everyone the complete truth without saying the truth. That's what we mean by coach speak.
Right. I feel like those are key in hamstring injuries too, because those are tough to judge by video. You can't tell if it's a grade one, grade two. Half the time, it's.
Well, this was clearly high grade. He's missed a fair amount of time, right? But and as a speedster and whatever, and you want to be careful. And his return to play has nothing. Well, it has zero to do with fantasy implications, right? He could care less. And also, this doesn't have anything to do with his contract year. Yes. This has to do with trying to get him right to play. And my guess is, even if Jefferson was pushing to play, either medical or the team might have said, take the extra week, you know, because we don't want a setback.
It's incredible that when he got hurt, I think it was week five, I want to say off the top of my head, that they were saying, oh, this might be season, because who knows where the Vikings are going to be after the Kirk. I mean, they were down already before the Kirk Cousins Achilles tear, and then now it's Dobbs, and we're hoping to have him back for the playoff run or stretch run to get to the playoffs.
It's the NFL. It'll be a big game tonight. We'll see what happens here.
Yeah, looking at the Thursday game as well, Seattle at Dallas. Seattle coming off the big loss. Dallas covering double-digit spreads easy these days. Seattle has Kenneth Walker, I think, is the only lingering injury. Oblique, he's already missed a week. Is there any chance for him this week?
I think there's a chance, but I lean towards no. Still Charbonnet there. I think there's a chance, but definitely lean towards no.
Geno, no lingering effects either. I mean, he seemed like he came back, was all right.
I think Geno's okay. I mean, I see a lot with Geno, despite the whole, let's put it this way. He won't be examined on the quarterback meeting room table this week for sure.
I think I'm up there like the prize turkey. Like it was just weird during everyone's
dinner. Like we talked about a little bit, you know, and other things. I mean, what was weird about is you can't spare 15 minutes to meet with Collinsworth and company. I get you're getting around the clock treatment. Number one, number two.
I didn't know that actually meant around the clock. Like you can't, you have no time in your schedule for an interview.
But on top of that, I mean, look, it's very common to walk in with ice and stim because you do that right. And into a meeting with media or your team meeting. The other thing is if you're really doing all that in your quarterback meeting room, you know those training room tables? They're pretty mobile. Two people and you could carry them in and they're narrow enough to fit in the doorway. I mean, you could get a nice padded table. Their meeting room seemed big enough and they didn't even clear off all the Gatorade. I mean, he's got his knees bent on there. I was like, what is up with that? And then can you at least put on a Pat McAfee tank top? I mean, if you need exposure to the right. Shoulder and whatever, it's like, well, I didn't understand what that was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a.
I think you said you were watching from a distance with the sound off and you're just like, what is on my TV screen right now?
That's exactly what it was. I was like from afar. I was like, whoa, let's figure what was that going on? It just caught my eye. It was Thanksgiving or whatever. Right. I was like, what is that going on? It just was like, I mean, I don't know what was be more strange for me, that or seeing high knees on the plane.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was just a different, I don't know what that was about. But in any case, I promise you, Geno Smith will not be in his quarterback meeting room table getting his elbow or arm worked on with the Amazon broadcast team in there for the Thursday game.
Yeah.
And he will not be doing that on Tuesday like he did for this last Thursday. You want to know why?
Why?
I'll give you 1,001 odds. There's that won't happen. You know why? Because the game's in Dallas. So the Amazon team meets with Dallas on Tuesday and they meet at the visiting team hotel on Wednesday with Geno Smith. So even if Geno Smith does this again, which he won't,
right.
It won't be in the quarterback meeting room and it won't be on Tuesday. It'll be on Wednesday and it'll be in a hotel room. Hopefully there's some insider info for you.
There you go. Broadcast behind the scenes. Dallas, the only issues on their side is Vander Esch, the absence of Vander Esch, so middle linebacker issues. Interesting that they're bringing Shaq Leonard in for a visit after he got released by the Colts, but got a nice tribute at the middle of the game yesterday.
You know, Ursay has done some out there stuff, right?
That's an understatement. Yeah.
I mean, this whole whatever the recent interview that I'm profiled, whatever. But I got to say that it seemed like Shaq Leonard was a little upset when he was released.
Right.
I think they did him right in the end. They gave him a boss. They gave him a tribute. He's been a great Colts player. I got to give it to Ursay and whoever came up with that. Maybe it's Ballard, the GM. I don't know. Whoever it is, maybe it's Shane Steichen, another good guy. I don't know who decided that, but someone with some foresight said, look, let's just be classy. And he's going to end up in their ring of honor. Right.
Yeah,
I mean, so absolutely. Let's be classy on the way out. I mean, kind of deal, but I don't like to diss anyone. If anything, it's kind of like the Jalen Ramsey situation. I was never dissing Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
It's a high bar. And let me tell you, it's a high bar for Shaq Leonard to come back from two spine surgeries and be the sideline to sideline player that he was. And he wasn't. And this is our preseason injury preview saying right. This is going to be hard.
You saw videos in training camp where you're like, that's Shaq Leonard running around there?
It's just not Shaq Leonard anymore. Yeah. It's you know, he's still a bona fide NFL player, but he's not Shaq Leonard anymore. Right. You know, or I guess I could say it. He's not Darius Leonard anymore.
The Darius Leonard form, yeah.
Yeah, he's not Darius Leonard form. But in any case, maybe he's going to sign with the Cowboys. I mean,
they need to do something at linebacker, right?
Yeah.
It's a good maybe splash signing.
Serviceable there. I don't think you can expect to get all pro Shaq Leonard, but I think he could be serviceable.
Right.
It'd be a good signing. And, you know, could he play on Thursday? It depends. Look, it's a lot easier to play defense than and get acclimated than to play offense.
Is defensive end the easiest one? There's the quarterback, go get him.
Well, I will say, once again, I won't mention his name, but a really good linebacker in college at a brand name huge school, when he came to us, had all the talent in the world. Like, but he ended up just being mostly a special teamer. And I talked to him one time, and he's like, man, this stuff is complicated. So what do you mean? He goes, well, at school, and I won't say which school, because it might narrow him down.
Right.
At school, they just told me to get to quarterback. See ball, go get ball. And he just reacted ball, and found the ball everywhere he was, and he was everywhere.
Yeah.
But in the NFL, it's play your scheme. Yeah. You're responsible for this gap. You're responsible for this, that, the other. And he struggled. This is why special teams, he was so good. Because he could just
see the ball, yeah.
Yeah. You know, at least you had to stay in your lane a little bit. But still, I mean, it was all athleticism. And he excelled. And he had his moments, but he never really was an every down player because of that. And so it's not that there's no scheme. It's just easier. I mean, it's not impossible. He's in shape. It depends on what the Cowboys' needs are.
Yeah.
Can he play all packages and know all responsibilities? I doubt it. But base packages, knowing some things, and he's a vet, he could.
Yeah, they got some room in that NFC East. Well, they're chasing the Eagles, I guess, at some respect. Their Eagles are 10-1. They're 8-3. So maybe it's more of a long-term signing. Maybe they're not looking immediately this Thursday for him to cash in and help. Got some other fantasy names real quick, and then I'll get to some of the next week's matchups. Etienne, we mentioned at the top or a little bit ago, Chest, he came back in, wasn't a concern. Javonte Williams.
Didn't really see much.
Same thing. Yeah.
Didn't see much. So hopefully they're fine, but it's, you know, bumps and bruises. I'm not saying they went into the tent for no reason. I'm just saying, don't see anything major missing time stuff.
Yeah, it's just interesting when we get those quick designations that, oh, a quick questionable, and then next series they're back in. So not like it's a severity of the injury that the info comes quick. T. Higgins is the other one.
And another note, too, is the cadence for reporting. I see all the time that was a quick rule out, or that was a quick questionable or a slow questionable. Let me tell you how it works. Every team on the sideline has a routine. And for us, it was medical would look at him. The athletic trainer always first. It's not that I was slow running out on the field. Okay, I was a little slow running out on the field. I'm not the fastest guy in the world. But it's routine to have the athletic trainer go first and go to the head and make sure the player's okay and talk to the player and calm them down, because they're the ones around them 80 hours a week. I mean, I'm around them 8, 10, 12 hours a week. And I would go to the knee or to the ankle or to the elbow, whatever the body part was.
Right.
And they would be up top. And then you get them the sideline, then you get a proper exam. And then when the head athletic trainer for us was ready and was confident in what we were saying, we would then tell the PR person, and the PR person would then tell the TV broadcast, because you're required to do so. But I will tell you that our head athletic trainer, on more than one occasion, when the PR person would say, you got an update? Give him the evil eye, like, you know darn well I will give you an update when I'm ready to give you an update. Just the look, the death stare. And they finally, I know the team ended up with a PR guy that wasn't as eager beaver and basically just understood to sit there.
Yeah, it's a certain line you walk as the PR.
I wasn't involved in that. I would just have the discussion with the head athletic trainer as to what it was, and he would decide. So every team has a different cadence. And, you know, this is where, you know, you could say leg and it's calf, it's Achilles, it's ankle.
Right.
There's no real rule. You could say ankle and it's Achilles. You could say lower extremity. I mean, there's no real fast and formal rules as to what it is. So I don't read too much into the media reports that come in.
Right. Is it the head athletic trainer that's saying ankle questionable, or is that the verbiage you use, or does that get translated into PR?
Typically in our situation, it was the head athletic trainer deciding what to say and the status as required. And maybe there's some translation as it goes upstream.
Right.
And every team has a as a thing. So, I mean, like we talked about a little bit on A-Chan last week, Coach McDaniel looked a little silly when he said afterwards, oh, yeah, we found out it was his same knee.
Right.
That's not on Coach McDaniel. During the game, all you get up through the stream is knee questionable or knee out or, you know, knee emergency use only.
Yeah.
That's all you get.
He's calling the next play. He's not.
Yeah. And he doesn't even want the details.
No.
And then he's honest in what he says and he finds out afterwards, oh, it turned out to be the same knee and that's why we were holding him out and being right. sure and whatever. It's not like he wasn't in the know. It's he didn't need to know in that moment.
In that moment, yeah, exactly.
And that's part of the coach speak that we interpret. And honestly, this is the unfair advantage of having worked in the system to see all the things, whether it's looking at Lane Johnson to see that it's left and realizing that's not a workout to play.
Right.
Kind of situation.
Yeah. Being in those situations yes. certainly helps. T. Higgins has missed 3 weeks with that hamstring. I know that Bengals have other issues on offense, but they play Monday. So maybe he's back with the extra rest against Jacksonville.
Maybe not a guarantee. Remember
the healing power of Monday? That doesn't exist.
Here's the thing. The healing power of what? I mean, he's a speedster. You got to be pretty confident that he can make it right. in order for him to play, in order for him to get open the style of play that he has and the whole thing. So this is what I always laugh when people say it's a grade 2 MCL, so it's 4 weeks. It depends on the guy and the yeah. position. T. Higgins' hamstring is different than someone else's hamstrings. He's a speedster. And being the speedster that he is, I think you're worried about setbacks and so forth. And don't read into that, well, they didn't put him on IR, so it's a mistake if he doesn't play in week 4. Remember Justin Fields, out 4 weeks, no IR. Basically, if there's a chance T. Higgins can be ready before 4 weeks, you don't put him on injured reserve,
right?
You carry him with the roster flexibility and what have you. So I don't think it's guaranteed that he plays yet. I don't know that he's done a lot in practice. I don't remember seeing any video.
Hasn't practiced at all the last 3 weeks.
Jefferson's been 7 weeks, right? So it's, like you said, it's not
like
give or take how many weeks.
Yeah, and I would say that if you had to ask me right now, I put him on the downside of questionable mm-hmm. T. Higgins right now.
Yeah, it's really interesting how that division's shaken up. Baltimore won last night to get to 9-3. Pittsburgh and Cleveland are both at 7-4, and Cincinnati's on the outside looking in at 5-6. But plenty of football to be played, so we'll see if Jake Browning can give him a little better chance. Aaron Jones, also an interesting one this week. They're the Sunday night game against the Chiefs. Missed last week with the MCL sprain. Is it going to be another week miss for him?
I'm on the positive. Glass half full there. I think Aaron Jones can make it back. Still a lot of time,
right?
But I'm on the upside of Aaron Jones.
That'd be good news for Packers fans. They pulled off the shocker against the Lions on Thanksgiving. So kind of turning their season around all of a sudden. Detroit at New Orleans, we talked about a little bit. Detroit is favored by 4.5. That's going to be an interesting one that we're looking at for sick picks. And then Atlanta at the New York Jets with the Hail Mary pick six. Did you ever have anything weird or wacky like that happen when you were with the Chargers, Doc?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story. We were in Minnesota. Antonio Cromartie, end of the first half, 109-yard kickoff field goal return. Longest play, quote, in NFL history, because 109 yards.
Yeah. He's
back at the end zone. I still remember it. In Minneapolis, they were kicking to my left, and we're on the visitor sideline, and Cromartie went back there, returned the kick, and we actually called return left, and it actually helped us. The reason why it helped us return left is that, A, the tendency after you kick as you're walking off the field is to walk towards your sideline and go to the locker room. It's halftime. So now you're a step or two leveraged. And then you also get influenced by return going that way. And Cromartie's pretty fast. Once he cuts back the other way, I mean, no one touched him. You can play this one too. Flag football, you don't touch him. Because there's nobody who can catch him. The kicker isn't going to catch him. The holder isn't going to catch him. The other seven guys up front blocking aren't going to catch him.
all you have is the two wings that are like tight ends or linebackers that might be able to catch them and tackle them. So the numbers are tremendously in your favor to return a long play like that. Once you, you know, break the original contain, and really on this field goal, once you influenced him to one side, it was called return left, but it was a touchdown to the right. I remember that because, and it was set up perfectly. Cromartie went to his left. Everyone was going left. Everyone to that side. As soon as he cut back, it was clear free sailing for that touchdown.
Oh, it's incredible. I'll pass here.
Oh, look, and you found it really quick here. Let's see how good my memory is here.
Longest touchdown ever, yes. It was to the right, by the way.
Okay, but watch the players here and watch them set him up to the left. Everything goes to the left, okay? Okay, now watch. See, there's already players walking off that way to the left, and he sets it up a little bit to the left, and then now he cuts back, and now he's got a wall. Yeah, flag football. He didn't get touched. No, right? No one touched them. And he's sauntering from about the 15-yard line.
Yeah. It's incredible how quick they make 100 yards seem like he's full speed. And then
his stride, I mean, he's like two steps and he covers 10 yards. Yeah. His stride is, I forgot it was Brad Childress. Yeah. Oh, Norv. Norv is the coach. Yeah. You see me in there? No, just kidding. You're probably too fast as he panned down the sideline.
Yeah.
He's running too fast. Oh, yeah. Well, you can't go locker room yet. You got to kick the extra point. Come on, Brad Childress. I mean.
Well, Beast of the Week, I had Kyron. I think we threw DTR out there, but we might have to make it Antonio Cromartie for the Javon Holland comp.
You know, off season, let's get Crow on. Let's catch up with him. I think he's gotten a bad rap. He's got his life together. He's a good guy.
I'm sure he would love to relive that one.
Oh, that was
a third touchdown in the last two games, too. He was on a little scoring streak.
Oh, and we were talking about owning the Colts. Remember all the picks he got against Peyton?
Oh, man.
Oh, he had some very athletic, unbelievable stops against Peyton Manning. A very talented, very, very talented player. And I think I told with the Marcus McNeil story how he took Marcus McNeil's first round draft slot because he fell because of his knee injury. And we weren't even planning on taking him, but he fell. And we thought,
this replay now, right?
Yes, all good. Yeah, we'll make them. But, you know, I got to say, DTR for hanging in there is still that's bodes well for toughness quality in the big picture. All right.
Sorry, outside of football, but they're talking about Tiger Woods retaking the course at the Heroes World Champion this week after his ankle surgery. So maybe a potential Beast of the Week for next week. Depends how he's looking.
Well, you know, I'm not negative on Tiger.
Right.
Once again, it's a really high bar of competition. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what he has going for him. If he's truly pain-free in the subtalar joint, that will help him. And I would imagine his subtalar joint didn't have much motion, so he's not losing a lot. But the key is, I don't think his ankle joint is normal and the rest of his foot and leg are normal. And he's got the flaps and the other things. So do I think his most recent subtalar surgery will help him? Yes. Does it give him a better chance? Yes. To walk and play four straight days, five straight days of golf, whatever, warm-up rounds, practice rounds, etc. Yes. Is he now normal Tiger? No.
Right.
So maybe he can do a little better. Hopefully that limp will go away some, but there's no way he's not going to limp. He's not going to be normal. I look forward to seeing how much of his pain is relieved. He didn't have motion. If it were an ankle joint fusion, he'd be capital D done. This was a subtalar joint fusion, and it's just the joint technically below your ankle with not much wiggle. If you fuse that, I don't think he loses a lot. If he's out of pain, maybe he's got a little better chance. But, you know, it's been – how old is he now? I mean, it's been too much respect for all high-level athletes, including golfers, to think that this much of an absence from the top that you can just come in and add water and do well. I think he's still – playing just the majors. Does he have a better chance now of winning a major than before the subtalar fusion? I would have to say yes, but I would still have to bet the under on winning another major because the game is just that hard.
Yeah,
the way that I look at it.
Tiger's 47, so he'd have to get over that ankle injury and channel some Phil Mickelson to be able to compete in a major at that age. So,
yeah, it's not impossible, but I still think it's long odds. All right, thanks for watching Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast here on the Believe Network. More throughout the rest of this week at sicscore.com and next Monday again for the podcast. Thanks for watching. And I never asked, but I guess I'm supposed to ask for a nice 5-star review. That's what we're supposed to do. If you can, that would be awesome. Appreciate you guys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.